hello there, and welcome to Hard to Say Goodbye, DJ.
Yes.
This is an important show for everybody.
It's important for me, man. Mm-hmm. I'm bummed.
I'm bummed, too. Trisha, you bummed?
I'm so bummed.
We're bummed because one of our favorite TV shows is going to go off the air very soon.
Yes.
We got a couple months, but hey, the clock's ticking, you know what I mean?
No.
Game of Thrones is coming to an end, and we're here to help you through it. We're rewatching the entire series, and boy, howdy, is it ramping up, and we're only in season one. Right now, we're going to talk about episode six. A Golden Crown, and man, this is an episode that had me squeal a couple times, twice now going over it again, but I have a quickie synopsis.
Do it.
And from IMDb, thank you to whoever wrote this. A calmer King Robert mends fences with Ned Stark and reinstates him as the king's hand despite the objections of his wife, Cersei. While he goes hunting, with his brother Renly, he puts Ned on the throne, which looks really cool. A group of farmers complain of having been attacked by a knight in his army, and knowing the culprit orders him stripped of all titles and lands. Ned decides to send Arya and Sansa back to Winterfell for their protection. Sansa, in particular, doesn't want to leave, saying that she wants to marry Joffrey and have blonde babies. Her offhand remark leads Ned back to the book his predecessor was so interested in, and he now understands why Jon Arryn was visiting King Robert's bastard children. Meanwhile, Daenerys and her brother Viserys have yet another confrontation, but this one is settled by Drogo himself. An imprisoned Tyrion Lannister demands to be tried and asks for trial by combat.
Oh, I'd like to thank, we're joined right now by Catherine Richardson and Big Appa.
Big Appa.
And I'd like to point out, sometimes you just run across something on the internet that makes you angry, and there's a video here labeled Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy worse than you remember. Mm-hmm. And I call bullshit, but I'm not gonna click on that video.
I'm gonna watch it later.
Anyway, that's not what we're talking about today.
Okay.
let's just figure out the comparisons between Sam Raimi's Spider-Man and Game of Thrones.
And Ned Stark.
Yeah. And Ned Stark. He'd be a great Peter Parker. But anyways, two things that made me say during this episode: the Golden Crown, which we'll come to because that's the finale, but also Danny just munching down on that heart, and also definitely heard behind the scenes stuff that was actually like a gross, like, not, it's kind of like the brains in iZombie, like the first season where they didn't know how to like make it, how to make it right to make it like really palatable, but it technically is edible, but it's basically like eating a shoe.
Gross.
And it's a lot of it. It's a lot.
Can I tell you how mad I am at myself for not doing a pregnant Khaleesi heart-eating cosplay when I was pregnant?
Would have been badass.
I actually bought all the stuff for it. I have an edible heart and blood.
Edible?
It's edible.
It's still in the freezer.
Yeah, no, it's like a heart mold.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So you can make that, like,
it's just sitting in there.
Yeah. No, but I was super planning on doing it, and then I was so tired in my third trimester, I could not get up the energy to organize a photo shoot.
That's fair.
But now, like, rewatching that episode, I'm like, I'm an idiot.
It would have been really
cool. That's what kid number two is for.
Mm-hmm. For cosplay needs.
Just for cosplay.
No, that had me going, ew, ew. And also, this is like, since this is like months between episodes, like you guys have pointed out, and it makes more sense now watching it that way. She's really grown into her own. She's like, we've gotten examples of that, but by this point, I'm like, wow. I know, like, I've definitely taken bets where, like, I've definitely chickened out after or, like, midway through, and I'll have to deal with those punishments. But eating a whole heart, that's,
Yeah, she owns that. She's definitely the Khaleesi. She feels in charge of that group. And this episode has two of my favorite moments in the show, period, where Bronn comes, one, Tyrion talking his way out of the cell. Great.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Leading to Bronn coming to his aid, which is also great. It has one of my favorite one-liners too, where like Lysa's like, you didn't fight with honor, and Bronn's like, well, he did. Point of the guy that got thrown down the moon door.
And it's a good
like kind of a summary of the ethos of the show. The Viserys' fate at the end of this episode, because and this was the moment because at a certain point, I think around season five, everybody was like, oh, Game of Thrones, it's so cynical, it's so dark, the bad guys always win. And I would always point, like, no, I don't think that is true more often in this show than other shows.
Right.
And the good guys have to work very hard to get their few moments. But then you look at stuff like Viserys, it's like eventually bad things also, I think bad things happen to everybody. The rain falls on everybody in this show. And whereas most shows, it's usually good guys are safe, bad guys aren't. This one's like everybody gets it at some point.
Some people are just smarter than other people. Viserys is 100% not. And him like
100%
pouting.
100% not smart.
Yeah, he's pouting this whole episode. He's like, well, I'm going to run off. And they're like, don't have
that soul. Of the mustache twirling villains we've had on the show, Viserys, Joffrey, Ramsay, Viserys is probably the least smart of those people.
I would agree with that. I do think, though, that the series tried to humanize humanize him a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that it was pulled off, whether it be for dialogue reasons or acting reasons or whatnot. But I feel like I could tell what they were going for when he says that, you know, from the age of five, I've had this burden on my shoulders of avenging my father's death. And you're like, all right, that would be horrible, like, as a kid to have to be brought up with that weight the whole way. And so maybe he was never conniving and never brave. He just felt like that's what he needed to do. And that's why he was such a shit.
Yeah, if he's just been like, time, hey, it's cool if Danny does it. They need to be fine. If you'd be like, man, it's cool if Danny does it.
Right, yeah. So I was like, oh, I think you're like trying to give him layers there, but I'm not sure that I buy it.
Mm. I definitely didn't. I was not. Yeah. I was done with him pretty quick. But I just felt that was the point of it. And also his death is the most shocking, which I'm excited to talk about books versus series because you've mentioned some cool stuff before we started recording. But anyways, that scene is incredible. I'm just showing the might of the Dothraki. Also, I didn't know metal could melt that fast, or they were making
it. Must be very soft metal or very hot steel.
Yeah, it's the first time I really noticed it, because you just, and when you're watching, you're like, just in the moment, you're crazy. So now, like, five times watching this episode, you're like, wait a second. Yeah. Like, what?
Like, if you ran really hard and you were wearing that metal, would it have melted off of you? I'm confused of how quickly this burned.
But, if you put that on the flash, it would have melted.
There you go.
It would have straight up melted.
It's the worst. He can never wear the stuff he wants. But it was an amazing scene because he's like arm snaps like a goddamn twig.
Sure does.
Like, they don't even care.
This is also the first I think where you start getting kind of on board with Drogo, because he does this. There's also a moment coming up where it's like, oh crap, he's so cool. And then you realize, like, oh, that was one of his few moments of getting to be like really cool. Mm-hmm. Spoilers.
Also, it's the one time like he really, like, the first time he like really spoke English, or like it was like, and it was just a crown for a king or something like that. Yeah. When he kills Viserys, and it's like, oh, no, don't go back to speaking Dothraki. No, I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, you realize that Danny has made an attempt to learn his language, and he is making an attempt to learn her language. It's
they're growing. They're learning.
Part of the love story, if you're someone that buys into the Danny Khal Drogo love story.
Yeah.
And you have Viserys threatening Danny with the knife to the belly. Yeah. And like, she's just like,
and when you watch Khal Drogo's face during that whole thing, they expertly lined up the shot. So you see sword, belly, and like his face just in the background, all like calm, just watching.
Yeah.
I was terrified of Khal Drogo in
it's
that.
Yeah. Like,
especially since
he's
like four times the size of everybody else in the room.
Yeah. Like, and also, sometimes I'm like, wait, he's not that big. And then sometimes when he
gets up,
pissed,
you're like, oh my goodness, he's huge.
But it's kind of like when you see someone get near a lion cub, and then you see like the lions in the background start standing up, you're like, hey, maybe you should not do that.
It's next episode. He gets a great monologue that Jason Momoa really kills. He gets two great monologues in the show in back to back episodes, but that's not yet. It's just him being physically cool and awesome.
And I hats off to Jason Momoa to deliver an impassioned speech in a completely fictional language is huge.
Yeah.
Is huge.
Man, that must be so hard. That must be so complicated. But you said cool images, and I also like seeing Ned on the throne, even though he had
for a brief moment.
Very short-lived.
And also, he's not messing around either. The second the family comes to him, they're like, the mountain's doing this. He's like, cool, scorched earth. Mountain is stripped of his rights. Like, I'm going to, listen, I'm on the throne right now. I'm pissed. I got a hole in my leg. My friends are dead. I'm going to, like, forget these people, all right?
Mm-hmm. Which, kind of dumb to forget about your enemy. But I mean, there's a couple moments where Ned really thinks like, I've got the upper hand right here and I'm gonna set things right. And it's cool to see in a, man, I wish you could actually execute some of this kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And it plays with audience expectations in the way we're taught to watch most shows, because it seems like, hell yeah, man. Like, when most shows are like, yeah, you know, this is where the good guy, whatever, whatever. And it's just not, this is just not that show. You know what I mean? It's not.
I mean, right in the very beginning of this episode, they're like, this is not that show. When Ned, or when Robert wallops Cersei across the face.
Yeah.
And then says something like, be quiet, or if you tell anyone or whatever, I'll honor you again.
Yeah.
Which is just brilliant writing, by the way. But it's like, Robert's sense of regality is so twisted and messed up at that point.
Yeah.
To say to slap her across the face and then say, if you do this, I'll honor you again. I was like, oh God. lot.
Yeah.
No, he's definitely not a good person. Yeah. But hey, nope. He gets to go on a hunting trip with his friends, and that goes out. That turns out well for everybody, mm-hmm. you know. Overall,
it's Renly, Lancel, and Barristan.
Lancel.
To feed more into the Sirio is the many faced guy or is a many faced assassin theory. In this episode, he does say there is only one god, and that god is death.
No, but he is from that land.
I know, but come on, come on.
I like that speech too, especially since it kind of informs Arya's arc throughout the show. And I love Sirio. Sirio's so cool. I don't have the same hopes that Trisha does, but
I do. Cool. I have the hopes. I think he's alive.
I'm willing to put candy in any conspiracy theory jar just because it's so fun.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm my worst fear for this series, and next season, please don't let me down. My worst fear is that what actually happens will be way less cool than the fan theories that have been cooked up, which I believe happened with Arya's arc last season.
Mm.
And I'm still hoping that they were just kidding. Be fooling us the whole time, please, because that was lame.
I think that's just true. I think no matter what the show does, there's going to be a huge backlash. Whether it's good or not good or whatever, I think there's just going to be, for a couple reasons. One, because when was the first book published?
In like the 80s.
So you've got 30 years of expectations built up.
Maybe he wrote it.
It would have been better if the books had come out first, because then it is what it is, kind of a thing. And I think, honestly, I think that's what George R. Martin's waiting for. He's waiting to see how people react to the show's end and then be like, cool, I'm doing this then.
I have a theory.
And also, you just can't please fans anymore.
Well, yeah.
We're in an environment now where no matter what you do, you can't please any fan group about anything ever.
No matter how many writers you have on your staff.
Yeah.
The probability that they're going to come up with a more creative idea than the hundreds of thousands of people online is very slim.
Yeah. And a lot of times people will come up with a really creative idea that narratively doesn't work or make sense or give you a satisfying story. So it's like you're not...
Like when the Doctor shows up from Doctor Who, when he shows up and he saves the day. I like that fan theory, too. I like that one. I'm a big fan of that one.
Let's see if there's anything else we missed that I loved about this episode. Every time they show Lancel, he's a huge dweeb.
Yeah, the biggest dweeb.
Not my favorite wig either, I'll be honest.
No, but I love how dumb it looks.
He looks like every drawing of a medieval person with a lute. Whenever you see them, they're like dancing long hair, and it's like, yeah.
But
I want to punch you in the face.
It sets up future events so beautifully that he looks like such a dweeb.
When he goes all Hot Topic. Yeah, makes sense.
Yes.
But also we get another hint about... audience basically figured this out. People probably got spoiled online because of it. But Ned doing the last little bit of investigating about, thanks to Sansa and Arya, actually, about Sansa wanting to have the babies of Joffrey. He does his little research of the book that only has people's names, spouses, and hair color written down.
It's CSI Westeros, man. It's like, it would have been cool if he took that information and went to you remember in Isle of Dogs where they have the collider that they put in the liquids and it mixes them up and then it comes out. He opens up the door and there's a DNA testing thing. It's I don't know how you'd determine, other than that, I don't know how you would determine such a thing in that time period. How did you
there was no paternity tests back then.
Yeah, because straight up he could have gone to Cersei and been like, I think this, and she'd be like, no, and you'd be like, oh, okay. What do you say at that point?
It seems silly now, but at the time to say, look, every other Baratheon born had black
hair.
All
the bastards had black hair.
All the bastards have black hair. Yeah. Don't we think that maybe there's something odd here?
I think that's as close as you can get to figuring it out, but it definitely isn't the most compelling evidence.
It's not how genetic works all the time.
Yeah.
It's the dominant hair color usually comes through, but Joffrey could have been an accident.
I mean, the three
and
kids.
And
Marcel. Yeah.
If you look at my son's hair, it's remarkably lighter than mine is.
Exactly.
But he came out of my body, so I'm pretty sure I'm the mom.
The mom is usually easier to determine than the dad.
We have a question here from Daniel. Just Daniel.
Daniel. Just Daniel.
What did you guys? Daniel. What did you guys think of the first time that Dany did not burn herself with the egg, and then Viserys dying? I believe that this was the first time someone showed that they had supernatural powers. Also, that Golden Crown scene. Yikes! But
I'm going to be straight up with you. That shit was probably flying. I mean, I obviously noticed when she picked up the egg and she wasn't burned, but I didn't connect the dots to Viserys being burned. That was flying all over my head until the very end of the first season.
Yeah,
I didn't. I was like, oh, cool. I just assume he died like most people die. And even when she says like a dragon can't be burned, I'm like, Dany, you're being weird. Calm down.
Well, I'm pretty sure if you jumped on a volcano, like I don't think you do very well. But
and that scene was completely added for the series.
Where she says that?
Where she picks up the egg. Oh, okay. And then, you know, we see that she's not burnt. Yeah, that was added.
Interesting.
So it's interesting for me now in the rewatch to be like, oh, this series is like giving so many more hints and pointers towards things that happen later. Yeah.
But I'm a dummy, so I didn't catch any of it.
You know what? I mean, even me who had read the books, and granted, the first book I read years before the series came out, but still, I don't know that I was like, oh, it's because. I was just like, oh, yeah, because she's a Targaryen. I think that's what I thought at the time. Like, oh, yeah, because she's a Targaryen.
And I think it works.
Just throw away, easy.
I think it works, too, not so much that you're supposed to put it together now, but so when they introduce the idea of her not getting burnt, suddenly your mind recalls like, the other things. You're like, oh, so it's not coming out of nowhere.
I remember the end of season one. Unburnt as the big unburnt.
Yeah. Ooh. I think that's where my brain was like, oh, then it started like, oh, and she stepped out of the pool and was hot. And that's when suddenly that stuff mattered to me. Whereas before I'm like,
and then remember when Viserys flinched at the candle wax?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What a pussy. Am I right?
Ridiculous.
Here, let's do that to me and see what happens. I think I can take it. I'm an unburnt.
No, I'm very much a burnt.
I'm very much burnt. I get sunburns that like nobody's business.
Speaking of Viserys stealing them dragon eggs, and then when he comes in for that final scene, is it just me or is he super drunk?
We were talking about that before. I wouldn't be surprised because he's such like... Oh, little brat. Like, of course he like went off and he's like, I don't get to be king, and then he got drunk and then he came back and he's like, I can take the Dothraki.
They don't show him getting drunk and there's no mention of it in the dialogue, which makes me think like, was that just a weird actor choice?
No, he's probably drunk. That feels fair.
The actor's drunk?
Yeah, both.
He's like, I don't want to leave
the
show.
He's like, it's my last day. I'm so bummed.
Right before summer break. Hey, we get it. Sometimes you can't control yourself. But yeah, we have Ned revealing that about Robert, and also Robert getting uh-ohs.
Listen, okay, so Vic Afa and Catherine Richardson have been having a whole conversation while this is going on. It's been about a few different things, about their favorite characters, Sansa and Dany, and then comparing the books to the show. But I just want to sum up where they've gotten. Catherine Richardson's like, I'm going to eat Olive Garden and watch Crazy Rich Asians. Talk to y'all later.
Let us know, Catherine.
Cool, man.
I've heard nothing good things about Crazy Rich Asians.
Yes, it has like a 97%.
Yeah,
right
I'm
now.
Not a big rom-com fan, but if you are, it sounds like you should definitely go.
I really want to see it.
Every Asian friend I have is like, go see Crazy Rich.
Yeah, because what else do they have?
I'm gonna go, and actually there's an Olive Garden nearby, and I'm gonna treat myself.
Give yourself a treat.
Be the really cool guy who's eating Olive Garden by himself. Wait, that's a family platter? I want that. Yep. I want all that pasta.
Yep.
But what are some other takeaways from this episode? Because my big things are the gross things that stick in my brain forever.
I think that's for me too. I think those are the bigger moments that all the big, my favorite talking moments happened last episode.
You know what? To celebrate the final season starting, can we make some edible hearts just to munch on when we're watching
the first episode? I think that's a great idea.
I'll do the first one, and then the next episode you do one, then DJ, and then we get a special guest.
Yeah.
And they get bigger and bigger until the final thing. It's like a little boulder.
So gross. Mm-hmm. So gross.
I got great ideas.
Yeah, I love the edible heart scene, but I love that because we get to see Dany like not coming into her own because I think she's already there, but we get to see like what she's willing to go through, in my interpretation, for Khal Drogo.
Yeah,
like I don't think she's just stomaching it because she's like, well, this is the means to an end of me getting my throne back. I think that she legitimately wants to make him proud, and you know, if he believes that this will help her child, she wants to help her child, and you know, so she's doing it for all of those reasons. But yeah, the Golden Crown in this, from what I remember, it's pretty true to the way it goes down in the books. And when I remember reading the books, I'm thinking, oh my God, like what would that even look like? That's so horrific. Like it was such a moment that stuck out in the books. And then when I heard they were going to do a series, my mind actually jumped to that moment. And I was like, how are they going to do that one part?
No.
And they just did it.
Yep.
Kudos to the showrunners and the whole series team, because, whoo, you did it.
Yeah, with the nice little touch of when his head hits the ground, there's a little funk.
Mm-hmm.
The metal funk.
Just a little one. No. Speaking of being grossed out, also, whenever anyone's Achilles gets little boo-booed or sliced open.
Oh, that freaks you out.
I get weird. Like, I pull my legs up and I get
Because it happened to you. You got your other Achilles slashed in a knife fight.
Oh, as soon as you said it in a knife fight, I was like, DJ's full of it.
Yeah. No. If it happened to me, it would have been like getting caught on a door or something.
Okay, great. Yep.
But no, that fight, definitely. It was just a cool moment.
To stop using your Achilles to fight with. But you're like, no.
I always... Achilles first into a fight. Whenever I kick, it's always way too high. And they're like, this is an easy target. But no, Bronn's fight is a really big takeaway as a positive for me. Because I just, he's one of my favorite characters. He's so slimy, and he's just like, he's very like straight to the point. It's like, I'm going to kind of follow the money. And he has his loyalties and he has his friends. But it's like, also, it's like, don't get in the way of me being happy. Like, he's like, he knows what he wants. And I like that. And also Tyrion, like you guys mentioned this earlier, but Tyrion paying off the guy. He's like, cool. They always pay their debts. Lannisters always pay their debts. And I was like, I like how this is like, although, bing, bang, boom. And then you're out of there.
It makes you like Tyrion more.
Yeah. It's Mort?
Mort,
How much you want to bet Mort went down the moon door after Tyrion left?
I thought that too. Like, yeah, there's no way. In the bag, I was like, now they're just gonna kill him.
Mort's too stupid to realize. Like, you're donezo, guy. Like,
although
if
he was like, he said he'd pay me to deliver the message, and they know he delivered the message.
He
was smart enough to defend himself, he might have survived.
No, I think the smart response, which is dumb, is when Tyrion throws the coin. Like, oh, let's hit him. Oh, what? What? I don't know.
Oh,
I'll just
me?
Pick this up. This isn't. I didn't do. I'll just pick this up. It's not. But it's not. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yep.
I believe in this episode also we had Rob meeting a character.
Oh yeah.
There
that,
we go.
That because Bran is attacked by wildlings, and this is where we meet Osha, who kind of matters and then stops mattering.
For the most part, right now she's important.
Right
and you
now
realize
she
Tonks.
Matters.
Huh?
Tonks.
And she's Tonks. I
told
her
Tonks.
Yeah.
Man. It's real weird when you see her naked later.
Yep.
I forgot about that.
I saw the Harry Potter movies after I watched the show, so it was weird
then
for
it's
me.
Really it's, weird.
It was weird watching the Harry Potter movies and be like,
You know, it was probably weird to people who saw Equus with Daniel Radcliffe. That must have been super weird for them too. Man, now it's gonna be weird when I see that. I like Tonks.
And you know what? No, I'll get into that later. I was just going to say, speaking of Equus, there's a lot of penis in this series, and I forgot until I was rewatching, and I was like,
it's poignant. Yep.
And then so this is all the other wildlings die, and Asha's a good reminder of like, hey, she has a good line later, like, hey, forget all your bullshit and worry about what's happening above the wall.
I think that's next episode after that. But yes, it's very good. That's why I feel like that's why Asha's important.
Yes.
Because she starts delivering to people south of the wall her knowledge of north of the wall. Mm-hmm. And that's
scary.
Super important.
And I'm excited to talk about her scene with Theon as well.
Yes.
We'll get there.
Yes. And he's going a little... forgot how just like gung-ho he is when it comes to protecting... the anyone like he's very loyal and
he's very loyal
and it but it's like to a fault maybe.
is it from loyalty? I just think he really likes sex and violence.
That's probably true. Greyjoys.
I was about to say who doesn't, but a lot of people don't like those two things.
Yeah. I just think he's like, oh wait, is there an excuse to be violent here? I'm in.
No. That's a good point.
Yeah. So we'll discuss him more later.
We'll get to Theon.
I'm excited too, but we're gonna move on in a second to episode 7. But we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Trisha, where can they find you?
You can find me on the interwebs at ThatGirlTrish, no I in the girl.
DJ
at DJ Talks Trash, every place that matters.
And I'm Sam at Sam Basher. Go to OnlyStupidAnswers.com for Only Stupid Answers content. Hard to say goodbye. You got merch, you got calendars to make sure you're up to date with what's coming up next, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
All right, that was another sweet episode of Hard to Say Goodbye. Would you like to get these episodes earlier? Would you like to be a part of the discussion, asking questions about the episodes? Would you like to watch along with us? You can do this and more at patreon.com/hardtosaygoodbye. That Patreon is how we were able to make this show happen. So if you're digging it, you're loving it, you want to watch the whole series of Game of Thrones before the finale with us, please go support us at patreon.com/hardtosaygoodbye. You can do it with just $1 a month.
$1 a month gets you so much, but check out all the other tiers as well. And if you're supporting Only Stupid Answers already, another great podcast here you can listen to. There's a bridge tier, which will get you content from both patrons. You can check out all of that over on patreon.com/hardtosaygoodbye. But until then, We'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.